Since its founding in 1926, the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce has been a catalyst for the success of Greater Nashua's diverse business community. Through advocacy, building connections, and professional development, each episode of Chamber Chats spotlights two local businesses sharing their unique journeys, services, and successes. Whether you're a business owner, community member, or curious about our region's businesses, Chamber Chats is the perfect way to connect and get inspired. Welcome to Chamber Chats.
Good morning, Nashua. You are listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM, and you can watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. I am Alyssa O'Mara, Programs Manager at the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce, and I will be one of your hosts, along with Emma Williamson, Membership Relations Manager. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning, Alyssa. You can find us here every other Tuesday from 10 to 11 AM, thanks to our generous sponsor, Kevin Ross Emery, Inspirational Catalyst. Be sure to give both Chamber Chats and the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce a like and follow on Facebook to stay up to date with all of our amazing events and programs going on. Our first guest today is Dan Hughes from World Academy. Welcome, Dan.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And Dan, I feel like we should intro you by your name you gave us, right? Lego Man?
Lego Man Dan,
yep. That's what all the kids call me. 15 years I've been called that, so.
Wonderful. We love that. So, and of those 15 years, you were saying you've been with World Academy for 12 or 13?
I've been there about 12, 13 years. Yeah. I started out as an elective teacher. I run my own business teaching robotics all across the state. And World Academy is actually one of the first schools I contracted with. And last year, Kathy Nelson, the founder of the school, asked me to come on and develop a full blown sort of engineering and technology program to complement the academics that they already have.
That's incredible. So when it comes to World Academy, for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar, give us your pitch. What makes World Academy different than the other options in education we have?
Wow. That's a great question. It's a little bit of a loaded question. Let me think. I think, first of all, World Academy is based right here in Nashua. We're right on Spitbrook Road, so we're very convenient. The school is multifaceted, and the focus of the school is the whole child. So the school is probably one of the most well-rounded I've ever seen. There's a lot of effort put into academics, obviously. The head of our science department is a doctoral. Dr. Falaki runs the science program. So we have a very high-end, whether we're doing geology or chemistry, those are the types of programs she's bringing into those classes for students in 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. There's my program, which is STEM related, which is robotics, coding, engineering. We're doing drones this year, podcasting the kids are doing. We're actually doing a website showcase later this week. All the 5th and 6th graders designed a website from the ground up. And I think we also include athletics in our program because we think physical fitness. So we have top tier basketball, soccer, just a whole bunch of stuff that they do, not only for physical education, but our competitive programs as well.
And you guys offer a lot more than just basic education as well. I think I was perusing the website and there's like camp programs, there's before and after school programs, there's a ton of clubs, and you take all ages. I mean,
correct.
There's even a section on there for infants, I think.
Yep, the school runs. Yeah, the program I work in is the K-8 program,
yeah.
But really, again, we talk whole child. The infant program allows you to start bringing your kids there at 6 weeks old. That's how the school started. It was, I don't want to say a daycare, but it was like more of like an infant through kindergarten, and it's just expanded and grown. We just did a huge renovation and built four new classrooms and moved our third and fourth grade in there. That's how much they're expanding and growing. And it's one of the great things about World Academy is it's inclusive. We want all different types of people, multiple backgrounds, multiple ethnicities. And then we want engagement from our parents as well. We don't it's not a drop off. Yeah, we have camps and stuff. The school runs all year round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is hopping in June, July and August, just as much as January, February and March. Ski programs, all different kinds of stuff just to get kids constantly engaged and offer them different types of experiences.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I was going to bring up your mission statement that I also pulled off the website, but you just hit it all just in what you were talking about. I mean, you're setting up students for success in a diverse and rapidly changing world, innovative education, whole child focused, and family engagement. And, you know, before we came on air, I know you were talking about you personally, how much you try to engage the parents and how you want them involved in everything. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how do parents get engaged in these programs that you run?
So one of the things at World Academy we've been really trying to do over the last few years is when a parent has an idea or a thought process, bring it to us, especially in the STEM space. There's not a lot of STEM activity, especially for younger kids. Mm-hmm. Usually robotics, engineering gets geared more towards, you know, seventh, eighth grade or high school. We run robotics classes for our kindergarten. My kindergartners are building and coding robots. Excuse me. We have two parent groups right now, or three parent groups technically, that have started doing First Lego Explore and First Lego Discover, which are very entry-level programs for our pre-K and our kindergarten students. And they're just getting that up and running. We're piloting it right now. But this came from the parents. If we want to do this with our kids, will you help us? My background began with my son in First Lego League when he was 7 years old. That was 15, 16 years ago. And so I wanted to try to give that mentoring to somebody else who wanted to do the same thing. Maybe some of these kids will take over my job when I retire. But it's really trying to bring those kids and bring those parents together to achieve things that you can't do at other schools because there's not the resources or there's not the time. I'm running after school programs 5 days a week. Wow. I'm there till 4:30, 5 o'clock every night running some sort of after-school activity with kids. I have my first and second grade master builders class starts today. Session two starts today. We have kindergartners on Thursday. I've got kids working to build robots for the Vex World Championships that we're trying to qualify for. So we're constantly moving at all different age ranges, all different types of technology.
That's so cool. And you mentioned the podcast, is that what you're talking about? Websites and podcasting?
Yep.
So what's the age demographic those kids are?
So we don't just do these as after-school activities. The podcast program we're doing is a class. The 7th and 8th graders for the last 9 weeks have been learning how to develop a podcast, how to talk into the microphone, how to write an introduction for their podcast, how to research the topics they want to talk about. And it's interesting, when they were doing their first pilots of their podcast, they were reading from the script. Hello, my name is Joe, and I like football.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to them, like, as radio, and you probably both know this, it's much more fun, much more engaging when you're just talking as people.
Yes.
So
yes,
they're learning how to actually do that communication. I had one group, and they were debating their best football player, and they were like, well, Joe, I understand what you're saying, but I do disagree. I think Tyreek Hill is a better player. Well, Steven, I think that, you know, C.J. Stroud is a better player. And I stopped. I said, guys, do you guys sit and talk like this? And they're like, no. I said, be yourselves. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're crazy. That guy's terrible. I think he's... And they just, their whole dynamic changed. So they're learning it. These are skills that will allow them public speaking, the ability to communicate in groups, the ability to do something like this, tell your story on air. These are skills that will transcend even if they don't do podcasting. The students, 5th and 6th graders, ran a website. We ran a class teaching websites from the ground up. How to build the background images, how to put content on, how to put links on. And they're going to showcase those websites later this week for all the other grades so the kids can see. But these are skills if they want to go start a business or they just want to share an idea they have. They now know how to go in and build a website, publish it, and make it live to the world. So
that's crazy. Yeah.
Real life skills.
Yeah.
And it's great that, like you said, it's starting so young. I mean, the things you're telling us about podcasting, website design, most people would think, oh no, a fifth grader can't handle that, a seventh grader can't handle that. But if you instill it young, it becomes second nature to them. It's not, then, you know, when they enter the workforce or they're in college, it's not like, I don't know how to do this. They're panicking about it. It just comes, they're like, oh yeah, I've done this before.
The challenge is, one of the things that World Academy allows me to do with building these programs is allows me to go and resource the correct tools for the age. Like you might say, like I was saying before, our kindergartners are building robots.
Yeah.
But you have to find the right robot for that age range.
Right.
So they're not, you know, I don't have them with drills and, you know, metal saws. And, you know, would you love to see a kindergartner wielding a Dremel tool? No, not at all. But you find the appropriate tools. And one of the great things about World Academy and all of us as teachers there, whether it's Dr. Falaki, Sarah Bishop, who teaches our English program, we're allowed to go source things that engage our students. So while we have a curriculum and a set of guidelines we need to follow, our administration says, be a teacher. which is something that a lot of schools can't do. Public schools have to follow the curriculum, have to follow it, everything. Mm-hmm. Private schools, we have that guideline, but we get to bring ourselves as teachers to the role. So you get a different experience at World Academy than you will get anywhere else, I guarantee it.
Well, I mean, it's that innovation piece, right? Like, they're letting you as educators be innovative, which is really amazing. Yeah. And to Emma's point, I mean, thinking back to fifth grade for myself, I'm like, I think I made like a diorama of a space station out of like matchbox car cases and saran wrap. I wasn't, there was definitely no coding for me.
Well, and like you said too, age specific tools. You're not going to give a senior in high school, an eighth grader, and a first grader all the same program and say, go code. You need to make it specific and digestible. And
what's great about, and I'll take robotics because that's where I got my start. Mm-hmm. What's great about robotics is, and this was something as we would go to other schools, as I would travel around in my business and try to teach schools how to integrate robotics, they were like, oh, you need to do a Lego robot or a Vex robot or a Bozzi robot. Like, this is what we need to have. And I would try to explain to them, the technology is actually irrelevant. It's the concepts that you want to teach. So the tool you use to teach them can be anything as long as it's grade appropriate. One of the neat things that comes out of the STEM and the engineering stuff that we do is all of my classes require certain things. All kids have to work in teams. So they have to collaborate, they have to problem solve, they have to share, they have to communicate. These are the soft skills that I think as we're getting out into the world, people are struggling to deal with, to listen to each other, things that the world is struggling with, I make sure are integrated into that. Yeah, we're building with Legos, but you're going to be sharing and you're going to be communicating and you're going to figure out how to problem solve. Those are the skills that translate.
Well, and it's interesting too, because I think that a lot of people look at these younger generations growing up and think they're too tech heavy, right? And they don't know how to communicate with each other and they sit behind a screen, et cetera. But what you're saying is you're combining it. It's forced interaction. So they have both skill sets. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you, I'm going to just, you hit on something really quick that I want to point out is, everybody thinks that because kids have an iPad or a phone in their hand, they're tech smart.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many kids are afraid of technology. When I say we're going to build websites, the panic that comes onto a kid's face, or I say we're going to learn how to code or we're going to learn how to design a podcast, you would think these were things they would jump all over. And once they understand how to do it, oh, they're all over. But there is definitely a technology fear among kids outside of that device in their hand, how to do something that isn't prepackaged.
Right.
So we're doing that. We're taking that. We're sort of demystifying technology for them so they're not afraid to try a coding class or try a web design class as they get into high school.
That's so cool.
That's so fun.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM, 95.3 FM, also live on Facebook and WSMN.live. Dan, can we talk a little bit perhaps about maybe a success story or a milestone that you feel like you've had since you've been there?
Oh, wow.
Was there like a particular aha moment a kid had or a program that you really wanted to see come to fruition that you made happen?
So I think what's really great about it is they've said to us, build a program.
Right.
What do you think the next greatest technologies are? Dr. Diaz, who's the head of school, Kathy Nelson, who's the founder, when they brought me in, said, we have things we want to do, but you're the expert. So we have 3D printing. Our third graders are going to do 3D printing, and they're going to create things. They're going to learn an app called Tinkercad, which is actually designed from Autodesk right here in Manchester. They're going to be using that to create 3D prints. Last year, we rolled out the 3D printers. It was so well received. I had parents calling me, hey, we want to get our son loved your 3D printing class. We want to get a 3D printer for them for Christmas. Any thoughts, suggestions? When we rolled out the 3D print program, we talk about engagement from our parents. Two of the kids in my class, their parents own a jewelry store. And mom emailed me and said, hey, would you like to do pendants for the kids? I didn't know what that meant, but I'm like, sure, they could design something. Well, Princess Jewelers in Derry actually cast 34 pure silver pendants for each of the kids based on the ones they were designed. They were about, I'm wearing mine, they're about this big. So for those of you who can't see it, it's about an inch and a half around. Pure silver. It ended up costing them like $6,000-$7,000. They ended up donating just because they thought the program was so cool and they wanted the kids to share in that experience. They actually 3D print jewelry in their store, so they wanted their kids to understand how that process worked and wanted to support other kids that wanted to learn it. I think that's, again, a great example of how we engage our community and bring our parents in. Also a success story. I do want to mention real quick, I don't know if any of them are listening, But World Academy has had a four-time world championship competitive team that has gone to the VEX World Championships 4 out of the 5 years. The only year we didn't go was COVID, where they basically shut everything down. Mm-hmm. That year, they picked up a brand new robot called Sphero Bolt and ended up second in the world in the Sphero Bolt Challenge.
Wow.
So while there are lots of success stories, aha moments, those are probably the two that really kind of shine on what we're all about. If there's a way you want to be successful, World Academy, your student coming to World Academy is going to have an avenue to explore that success.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Opposite side of the spectrum, and I don't even know if there's an answer for this because it sounds like it's quite an idyllic place to work, but have there been any challenges that you've had to overcome? Like, were there with whether it's with technology or bringing things in, is there anything on the horizon that you're working on right now that you want to see come into the programming?
So one of the biggest ones that's coming in the future, there's always challenges. And again, I'm that person. And again, we're encouraged to overcome those challenges. We're given the resources to find those. So if there is a problem, the first question, Dr. Diaz is always great. I'm a problem solver. How do I fix it? How do we make it happen? One of the things I really wanted to do this year, and we're going to be bringing it at the end of the year, is a drone program. We piloted something over the summer with little mini drones, and Todd Pollock, who's on our board, works for Civil Air Patrol here in Nashua. He came in and helped mentor the kids, teach them a little bit about safety and the process for that. And we were able to get a $4,500 grant to purchase 20 drones, and we are going to run a full-blown drone course this year. But the challenge was, where do we come up with the money to get the drones? We try not to pass those kind of things on to our parents.
Of course,
cost, it's a private school, so cost money to go. And we were able to get a $4,600 grant to purchase the drones and all the equipment we need. So World Academy will be launching, pardon the pun, launching a full-blown drone program this fall, or this spring, which is really kind of exciting for us.
And when you talk about the drone program, I mean, are they just learning how to fly it and safely and all that stuff? Or are they like also learning how to fix them and things like that? Or is it everything?
So it's a little bit of everything. They're going to not only learn how to fly them, they're going to get certified to fly them. So we'll take them through the actual, what's called a trust test, which explains them all the rules of flying a drone. A lot of people don't realize, even in your own backyard, the minute you lift a drone off the ground, you are in FAA airspace.
Yeah.
If you are not certified, you're actually breaking federal law, even 2 inches off the ground in your own backyard. Where we are, we're within 5 miles of the Nashua Airport, so we have even more restrictions before we can go outside and fly. But the kids will actually learn the trust test. They'll learn how the drones work. They will learn how to fly them, and they will learn how to code them. These drones are autonomously coded, so they can be programmed to fly around and survey things. We'll go over the industries where you can get a job flying drones. Professional drone flyers actually make, I'm sure there's a better term than that. Professional drone flyers make $70,000 to $100,000 a year if you're an expert drone flyer. So some of these kids could come out of high school making six figures doing something they love to do. We're going to talk a little bit about that during the class so they can understand what the practical application of all of these skill sets is as well.
Just throwing this out there, the Nashua Police Department has a pretty awesome drone like system and squad that like uses them. And for Leadership Greater Nashua, we do December is Criminal Justice Month, and we always do a visit there. And the last 2 years, they brought out all the drones and were explaining them to how they use them. And it's incredible. I mean, they fly them into buildings. It's so much safer now because they can send drones in advance. So super cool. I think that's fantastic.
And I like how you guys, too, sorry to interrupt, Lisa,
go ahead.
But you're not just teaching them in the classroom of like, we're going to learn about, you know, drones, or we're going to learn about coding. There's the real world application tied back into it. And it's not just a learning experience of, okay, you're learning about this certain piece of technology. It's you're learning about it and you're learning how to grow with it.
Yes.
And use it.
The goal definitely is not only the technology, the education, whatever it is, whether it's English class, math class, our teachers are trying to show them how it's going to work in the real world. I always like to tell this story because I teach robotics for a living. And if you would have told me that when I was a kid, I would have told you you're crazy. When I went to high school, I graduated Merrimack High in 92. The first thing I did as a freshman, I went and met with my counselor and said, do you have any questions? What are the minimum number of math and sciences I need to graduate? I hate math and science. Here I am teaching basically STEM technology every day, all day long. But nothing that we have now, we had then. It was all theoretical application. Now everything the teachers are doing at World Academy shows how it will apply in the real world.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Before we started also, because I really wanted to touch on this, but you mentioned the entrepreneurship program that you guys have. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that sounds incredible as well.
So again, and this ties perfect to a chamber type of thing. We, when I was in high school, they came to us and we, as teachers, teach electives outside of our skill set. Well, I've run a business for 15 years. So when they came to me and said an elective, I said, I want to teach kids how to run an elective. What grade am I getting? Seventh, eighth grade? They go, fifth grade.
Oh, boy.
All right, well, I'm going to teach fifth graders how to run a business. So in this entrepreneurship elective, they had 9 weeks. They had to elect a board. They had to come up with a product. We were going to add a stock option in there where they were actually going to go sell stock to raise the money.
Oh,
we
wow.
ran out of
wow.
time. We'll do this next year because we'll have more time. But they were supposed to sell stock to raise the money to buy the materials to make the products or purchase the products. They ended up coming up with a game room idea, which they're going to sell entry to. It's like a game after-school game room. We have rules about what games you're allowed to play at World Academy on your computers because every student has a computer. But in the game room, as long as the game is school appropriate, there's a lot more games they could do in the game room. So they decided to do a game room. They're selling entry to the game room, providing snacks and drinks. And it's kind of like a party atmosphere kind of thing. So they're doing this for 3 weeks. But they had to go out and source a budget for all the food they needed. Mm. They had to factor in because they have to hire parents as chaperones because we need a couple of parent support people. So they have to pay. Like your parents can't volunteer. You have to pay them.
Okay.
So that each parent that comes in will get a $25 gift card for coming in and volunteering. We had to figure out what the cost to rent the rooms would be.
Mm-hmm.
The board had to figure out how to manage the marketing and build a flyer for it, help me design an email that would go home. But they had to do it all. Basically, I would tell them what the task was and then offer advice. But the board, the president, the CEO, they had to oversee all the groups to make sure everybody got done. And yesterday was our last official class, and they got everything done on time, including their budget. So
wow.
It's just so cool.
And it's fifth graders. Like,
yeah.
And they were like, we would have something where they would have an assembly or a field trip, and they were bummed they were missing. They're like, I don't want to miss entrepreneurship. It was so, they were so into it. It's amazing to watch. I think a lot of times people that don't work with kids on a regular basis see what they see about kids from TV or maybe what you see in an instant. That's how you sort of classify it. These kids have a lot of passion, and they're looking for those avenues to go be successful. Again, I'll tie back. World Academy gives them an avenue to go try and be successful, and this is another example of it. So, yeah.
So, and you said this was an elective class, and they had 6 weeks to do this. So is there more to this elective class? Like, is there a second piece of it, or is it that how the programming works at World? Just personal curiosity.
So this was a 9-week elective for trimester one. So it ends at the end.
Oh, and it's trimester.
It's a trimester, right?
Got it.
So it ends at the end of 9 weeks. We're gonna run our event in December just because we needed the full 9 weeks to get all this figured out, all the costs and everything. But yeah, no, it's done in the classroom as an actual class. So they're learning these things as they go.
Wow.
A lot of things we try to do like that, we try to bring into the classroom so all the students get a chance to participate. It's not just a sign-up thing where you do it after school. Everybody had to participate.
Yeah.
So.
And do you think, are there kids in this class that you're like, I know you're going to go do this on your own now? Like, they already have an idea and you can see them this summer. Like,
the gears start turning.
Yes, exactly. They're going to come back next year and it'll be like their whole, have a business. Like,
she's in class right now, so she shouldn't be listening. She should be doing probably ELA work right now. But one of the students, Rosie, she actually wrote the email for me that I'm going to send to parents and sent it to our principal to review. I was actually out sick, so she sent it to her to review. She sent it to the head of the school, Dr. Diaz. And Dr. Diaz told me, she said, this was so well written. It was like something I would actually send out to the parents.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
That's the one example.
Good for you, Rosie.
But a lot of these kids get a lot of passion to the things, and you can just see it in their face. You can see my robotics team, the one I told you made Worlds 4 times and was second in the world in Sphero. Not one of the three of them went to high school and ended up doing robotics. One ended up doing soccer. The other ended up joining the wrestling team. And then one went into kind of the tech side of his school.
Mm-hmm.
But they all, when they looked at the robotics programs at their school, felt that they weren't going to get more out of the high school program than they got in middle school.
Oh,
but
wow.
They weren't afraid to, none of them had played soccer. None of them had wrestled. None of them have done any of the stuff they went in high school and tried. But they weren't afraid to go try something they didn't know how to do. And that's, again, I think a lot of what we try to teach. We want to demystify that fear of trying something you don't know. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try something that you don't know how to do.
I got to
watch one of my team members wrestle, and he happened to win the match. It was only the second time he'd won all year. Happened to win the match that I was at. And I was just like, I don't have any pointers for you, man. Just keep working hard. And he's like, and he's just a smile on his face. It was so cool.
That's
such
awesome.
Amazing things going on over there. That's so great. Well, Dan, we could keep going on and on, but unfortunately we have reached our time. But thank you so much for joining us. It was so great to hear about everything that's going on over at World Academy. Listeners, when we come back, Alyssa and I will be joined by Cecilia Ulibarri of Positive Street Art. You're listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN, 1590 AM, 95.3 FM live on air and online at WSMN.live and Facebook. We will be right back after this short break.
Thank you so much, Dan. It was great to meet you.
Thank you.
Whether you're shopping along 101A, working out at one of the many boutique gyms or studios in the area, or simply enjoying a nice day out with the kids, you need healthy fuel to keep you going. Look no further than Clean Juice Nashua, your local neighborhood juice bar. Hi, I'm Mary Beth Fiango, owner of Clean Juice. We are located at 2 Cellu Drive in Nashua. Clean Juice is the only USDA-certified juice bar that offers you the purest organic, cold-pressed, never-processed juices, smoothies with hemp and whey protein, acai bowls, like our fan favorite, the Berry Bowl, and small bites like avocado toast and barbecue chicken wrap to help you thrive and stay on the go. For more information, visit us online at cleanjuice.com or stop by at Clean Juice 2 Cellu Drive, Nashua. Stay fresh, stay healthy. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, this is Tony Joyce from Joyce Cooling and Heating. Now that winter is here, your comfort and indoor air quality are more important than ever. A new heating system with a state-of-the-art air purification, humidification, or zoning options can make hibernating a lot more pleasant. Upgrading to any type system will save you money and ensure a worry-free system. Don't wait until you have no heat. And remember, that's Joyce Cooling and Heating, 882-4244, or on the web at joycecool.com.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
Catalyst, a person who empowers growth. I have been a catalytic agent for positive change for individuals, couples, families, and even businesses for over 30 years. If you want to achieve more of your potential, feel better in the life you're living, and want to maximize your business potential, check out what I do at kevinrossemery.com. P.S. I'm also an ADD-ADHD catalyst, helping those gifted to step more into their greatness.
Welcome back to Chamber Chats. I'm Alyssa O'Mara, and I'm here with my co-host, Emma Williamson. You are listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. You can also watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. Don't forget to give us a like and a follow so you can stay up to date on all of our incredible guests.
Yes, and thank you again to our sponsor, Kevin Ross Emery, Inspirational Catalyst, and a big welcome to our second guest today, Cecilia Ulibarri from Positive Street Art. Let's just jump right in. What does Positive Street Art do? Who are you guys?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here
thank
today.
Thank you. For being here.
Yeah. I always love sharing our story and what we're doing, so this is awesome to be here today. So Positive Street Art is an arts organization that started in 2012, so we're almost 13 years old, coming up in January.
January 19th? 16th?
Yes.
19th.
Yeah,
look at me, I remember.
Wow.
I helped host one of the, I co-hosted with Amber one time at an anniversary party. So I'm a big, like, what was that, like year five?
Yeah, that's very impressive that you remembered that.
I try to learn my things. Anyways, continue, sorry.
Yeah, so the reason why we even started Positive Street Art, so my co-founder, who is now my husband as well, Manny Ramirez, which some people already know about him locally, and all the beautiful work that he does in the city. But we really just couldn't find ourselves fitting in with the art spaces that were already around. Mm. A lot of the art spaces were very traditional in style and didn't really have an open or welcoming setting for urban and contemporary art, street art, urban art, that kind of thing. And coming out as artists, we really wanted to have space. So why not create it? And one of those things was murals as well, not just, you know, visual art that you can hang on your wall. And at the time, there was a group called Visualize Nashua that kind of crowdsourced ideas for what the city residents would want. So you could host a pitch party and talk about what you wanted. And honestly, what we wanted to do was just do this like set of art cubes where you could switch out the wood paneling and each side of the cube would have a different mural on it. And we would switch those out. Literally, that's all we wanted. We were really just starting with something simple. And a lot of the residents were like, no, we don't want just these cubes. We want murals that are permanent and we want a lot of them. You guys should start a nonprofit. And we were like, okay.
That's such a beautiful, I don't want it. So we don't want it to be temporary. We want it always.
Yeah. And we want more of it. Yeah. Right. And so hearing that from our community, there was a demand for it. But there weren't many artists that were willing to do that. So we kind of spearheaded that journey and started filing for our 501c3 paperwork and just started to get to work on, you know, finding walls and seeing what that process looked like, making sure we had the correct permissions, all of that. And we've learned a lot throughout the years on how to do things. And we've made a lot of really great relationships with other nonprofits in the city. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's made us so successful is, you know, we're not siloed in just this, you know, just this art sector. Let's work with other organizations. So when we first started, we actually worked with like the Boys and Girls Club and Police Athletic League and sharing some of our skills with them. So arts, dance, anything that kind of surrounded the urban art culture, because we realized not all kids were, you know, visually, artistically inclined. They wanted to write music. They wanted to sing. They wanted to dance. There was other ways that they wanted to express their creativeness. And so we just empowered them to do that. We were really just this catalyst and this safe space for kids and emerging artists alike to really just share what they had and just, you know, just create.
I mean, and I know you're talking about the kids a lot, but like just from the adult perspective, and I'm just going to share this because as I mentioned, I met you over a decade ago now, I think, almost a decade ago. I had opened a salon in town and I was new and I met Amber Morgan and she introduced me to the Positive Street Art crew is what I would have called it, right? Mm-hmm. She brought me to Fodi's for a karaoke dance party after one of the dance sessions and I started bringing my friends to events and just because when I tell you this is the most welcoming, warm group of people you could ever possibly want to be around, for those of you who are listening who have not been to one of their events, please go. Like, it doesn't matter what, you know, if you're an artist, if you just are interested, like, they have something for everyone from the dance classes to the art classes you do at your new beautiful space. Like, just incredible. And I feel like watching all of the murals pop up all over downtown over the last 10 years as well has just been so beautiful. I remember when Manny was starting to paint the Three Stooges mural over at the Stagecoach Theater there, like where it used to be, excuse me, the movie theater. And just the coolest, like at night having the spotlights up and walking my dog by and being like, I know these people who do this awesome art. Like, it's absolutely beautiful. How do you know at this point, do you still keep track of like how many square miles of Nashua you guys have covered in murals?
Well, we have never done the square footage. I think that that would be almost impossible to keep track of. It's already hard to keep track of just the murals in general because some are not permanent, right? I mean, sometimes a new owner will purchase a building and they have a different vision for that building.
Yeah.
So not all of the original murals that were up are now up. Some of them changed. Some of them obviously deteriorated over time and we have to fix them. But it really depends. So right about now we're close to having almost three dozen murals in Nashua that are still around, and they're inside and outside. So we've done inside of businesses, inside of residences, and obviously outside in public. But what I really wanted to talk about actually is you just said something that triggered me, how you were like, positive street art, the space where people felt like really welcome. The reason why we even named ourselves Positive Street Art is we wanted to be that positive catalyst in the city where people just felt welcome.
And
right. And anybody. I mean, had people from, you know, babies in strollers to one of our closest friends who passed away a few years ago, Mary Goyette, who was 92 years old, would support our event. So we had a huge range and people that come from all different backgrounds. It was just beautiful to see that the arts can really bring everybody together. And so that's kind of the whole thing behind positive street art. The other side of it was also to change the negative connotation of street art and graffiti, because it is a culture and there was a reason why that was even brought up in the beginning when the graffiti culture started back in the 80s in New York City.
And I love that it's arts, plural, and it's not just, I mean, we talk about the murals, and I think a lot of people in the Nashua area, when they think positive street art, they think the murals, paintings, which they're beautiful, but you mentioned dance, music, like the arts are so, art's pretty interpretive, like interpretive dance, interpretive music, you know, like it's what you want it to be. And I love that you're making this space for all types of arts.
Right. And so arts is cool, right? And so for the longest time, that's kind of how we pitched ourselves, like, yeah, we're trying to bring this new and different type of thing to Nashua. And what we've started to realize is we weren't really valuing the huge spectrum that it was encompassing. So arts is healing. And we've really embraced that over the past 5 years. And now more so since COVID. I mean, what did everybody do when it was COVID? Everybody did something creative, whether they were dancing, they were cooking, they were renovating their homes, they were painting, drawing, sewing, whatever they were doing was something creative because they needed to get their headspace in check, right? Because they were, most people were stuck at home. So arts really is a catalyst for well-being and mental health wellness. Like, it really is. And so how do we use that as a tool and a vessel for change or positive change in somebody?
So interestingly, and this is a random tidbit, but a couple of years ago I signed up for like a New Year's Day Tony Robbins thing, right? Like, start your year off right and whatever, not knowing what the subject matter would be for the year that they were going to go through, obviously. And for whatever reason, it was about grief and growth after grief. And I thought it was fascinating that he said, and I take this, it's so applicable to what you were just saying about healing, in that he said, there is a final stage of grief that we don't talk about, and that is creation. And in order to overcome any kind of trauma or sadness or grief of whatever kind it is, whether it's the loss of a job or a home or a person, being able to transmute that into something creative at the end of the process is the final step of healing from that, whatever it was. And like, literally goosebumps talking about.
Last time I was on the show, we got teary-eyed too and emotional.
I mean, but truthfully, and for me, like, I think of my experience with Positive Street Art. I said I went to that karaoke dance party with Positive Street Art.
Which you can sing amazing, by the way, if people don't know that.
But I mean, I would say I'm average at best, but what happened that night was that I sang for the first time in public since I had been in probably like fifth grade. And you guys were the ones who encouraged me to do that. And when I started singing this song and everyone looked at me and like somebody was like, you can sing. And I was like, I can't. Like, But since then, like, that has become my healing tool. Like, I have been in bands. I go to open mics. I do karaoke. And it was because of Positive Street Art. I would have never gotten up at a karaoke event ever in life had you guys not been there dancing your little booties off, like, showing me that I certainly should not be dancing, but maybe I can sing. Like, so thank you for truthfully.
Thank you. That testimonial is amazing, and I love that in writing sometimes.
Write that down. Put it on the website.
You know, we've had stories like that that are really touching, that bring tears to your eyes. We had, who's now a really close friend of ours, he thought that there was nothing else left for him here on this earth, and he was in a very dark space, and he came to one of our events, and he was a dancer, but he hadn't really expressed himself in that way, and he came to one of our events, and he now is a life coach. Like, it's incredible. God. But he said, you guys literally saved my life, and I owe my lives to you. Oh. And so for stories like that, for people to understand what we're really trying to build here in this community, that's really the reason why we're here. We're just this catalyst to help empower people to do the things that they love to do that bring them joy.
Absolutely. And I mean, again, and you mentioned the collaboration with other nonprofits, and I know that, like, running LGN now, like, I try to include you guys as much as possible, because you fall into so many different categories. I can include you in so many different days, right? And with Nonprofit Day coming up, like, I know last year, so many of the people we had from nonprofit organizations afterwards were like, we need to connect with them, like Greater Nashua Mental Health. And I mean, even the art walk with Southern that you have, like the 30-minute mural walk around, like all of those things just show your impact in the community in a larger scope that I don't think even many people realize, how you have your hands in all over the place, just touching. Oh my God, Emma's gonna like weep all day today. She's like into
I'm just
it.
Smiling. Well, I mean, our LGN class, I'm in the current LGN class, and we just did the mural, art mural walk, and for our first class day that we had, and it was the history of Nashua, but you guys, you know, we watched your video at our lunchtime, and we did the mural walk, and now we get to hear from you again next week, a week from tomorrow, and I don't know, I just think it's great, and like you said, you kind of have, like, your foot in every pond almost, but in the best way possible.
Absolutely.
And we're really intentional about that, so, like, our programming has really evolved. We've seen a lot of gaps in programming around the state in general. We have a lot of players in the state that we get to talk to. And again, working with other nonprofits, we get to hear some of those gaps as well. And so how do we help to fill those with what we're doing to still align with our mission? So we now do programming with the kids at Waypoint and My Turn right now in Nashua. We've done a workshop, a whole facilitated workshop from beginning to end where disabled clients from the Opportunity Networks. Awesome. They have done, basically, they create their own artworks. They learn how to stretch canvases. They create their own flyer for the event, and they sell their own artwork. And it's all, like, for them, by them. And we are not helping them with it, because that is their creation. It's not anybody else's. So it's things like that that we're trying to do to really bring in different programming and hit, you know, fill those gaps.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM on Facebook and WSMN.live. And now, Cecilia, you just said that you work with Waypoint and My Turn, you know, doing these things for groups to produce their own art, make their own art. Do you, and Alyssa mentioned you have a new space. Can you share a little bit on that? What is this, a space where people can come to, you know, make their art or practice their art, that's just a open space,
or buy holiday gifts, because that's coming
or
up
buy holiday
soon.
Gifts.
Yeah, so we do a lot of things at our space. So we've been in that space for about 2.5 years now. We're really grateful to have a larger space to host events, to host you know, exhibits and things like that from local artists that don't normally get spaces to show their stuff. So we have a lot of programming right now. If you ever want to come to any Positive Street Art events, the best way to find out what's coming down the line is to sign up for our newsletter. You could just go to positivestreetart.org and there's a pop-up that says sign up for our newsletter. I promise I only have time for one a month, so you will not be spammed. But it's literally just like, hey, here's the upcoming program. So if anything, you know,
is inspiring,
floats your boat, or, you know, is inspiring enough for you to want to come to, please do. We have a couple things coming up. So we have the Inspired by Leonardo da Vinci. It's a partnership with PBS. That is this Friday. We only have a handful of tickets left. Wow. We actually are showcasing or screening a part of the film. With PBS, we have food and snacks, and we also have a camera obscura session where you can learn how to do camera obscura, which is one of the modalities that Leo da Vinci did himself.
Wow.
So that's on the 8th. Those tickets are free because it was a granted project. So we, like I said, we only have a handful of tickets left for that. So you can go to our website or our Facebook to look for the link for the tickets there. We have our holiday art fair coming up on November 23rd. We have some local art vendors. So if you want to support your local arts and find really unique gifts for the holidays, or just for yourself or anybody else that you want to give, even if you don't celebrate the holidays. And we have raffles and stuff like that as well, and kids activities. So it's really a family fun event. And then we have a really unique event coming up. Dan Staples, who's also a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
He is doing a whole immersive experience at our space next weekend from the 15th through the 17th. It's literally going to be a whole walkthrough experience. He's literally taking over the entire square footage of our space with balloon sculptures, art, photo ops, all these things. And it's all based on music. And there's a storyline that brings you, you know, from the beginning to the end and like circles back in this beautiful story. You may cry going through it because it's touching. He's very intentional about his work. And he's a very undervalued artist right now in our community. And so we want to uplift him in this way. And we're so excited about this. It's going to be a whole immersive experience that nobody should want to miss.
That sounds incredible. And shameless plug, if you are attending our annual gala tomorrow, it's crazy. You will be seeing both Cecilia and Dan's art there, as yes. Dan will be doing balloon art for our Blue Box Gala. And Cecilia does our Citizen of the Year wall every year. So last year was Wizard of Oz theme, and she did these beautiful poppies all over the wall. We did a huge poppy field, and I'm not going to give away her design for this year, but it's pretty amazing. I saw some pictures this morning, so it just blows me away when I get to see how creative you guys are and what you can come up with out of like nothing. Like a special, and Dan with the balloons, like his samples that he sent over, we were all like, this is balloons? Like, it's incredible. It's insane. Did he do the giant boombox at at your event at the Roller, was it at Roller Kingdom? No,
the boombox was at the New Hampshire Business Committee the Arts event last year. It was their annual gala.
Oh my God.
And then he also did a big roller skate for, we did a fundraiser night at Remix in Manchester.
In Manchester, okay.
Yes, and he did a big skate that even like, 2 months ago, they shared a post and said that it was still up, and they, they tagged him in it and everything. Yeah, usually balloons deflate pretty fast, but he uses really high quality stuff. So,
I'm so excited to see. Like, I don't even know. He planned it with Wendy, so it's like a surprise. We don't even really know what he's doing.
What is it going to be?
That's incredible. So we have a few minutes left, and I like to ask, especially our nonprofit guests, you know, what are some of the challenges that you've had to overcome with your organization? Any, particular murals that you had a hard time with, or if there was a period of time like that, you know, I'm sure the pandemic affected things for a while. And then the opposite side, best success story. Like, what is one thing that you are the most proud of that you guys have accomplished? I know, hard questions.
The tough questions coming right at the end.
Yeah. So I think the toughest thing for us as an organization, and it's still a challenge to this day, even though people are valuing arts more, we're usually the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
We understand that, you know, people that give services for food insecurity and shelter, those are very important things, and we would never want to take it away from that. But there are other organizations, you know, that we're competing against for money, and sometimes that can be difficult because usually arts is, like, you know, the last on the totem pole to receive funding. So funding and sustainability is something that we've tried to overcome over the years. It's getting better now that people are understanding about the mental health wellness part of things. So that helps us get grants more. But that's typically the hardest thing for us as an arts organization specifically.
Okay.
So we're working on that. We have a new employee now that is helping specifically with grants. So they're more focused. Since we are doing so many things with a very small staff, we want to make sure that we have the capacity to bring in other grants. And then I think the most empowering thing is things are just literally the stories, like what you shared earlier and the story that I shared about one of my closest friends. You know, the life-changing aspect of this and how it can literally change somebody's trajectory in life, you know, whether that be they start a business or they take their artistic creatives to a different level, or it, you know, it just empowers them to stay here.
Yeah.
You know, it's those things that really are more empowering to me. And I think that that's the best thing that we can do. And as a nonprofit, that's very valuable to us.
Yeah. Cece. Oh, Cecilia, sorry. Sometimes.
It's okay.
I got shamed the other day because I said that. Anyways, I'm really bad with nicknames. Cecilia, thank you so much for joining us today.
We're so excited
for everything that PSA has coming up. Listeners, if you have not already, please go check out Positive Street Arts website. Find something. There is so much on the calendar, so find something that vibes for you and go attend an event. If not, definitely go to the holiday market. I love going every year. I'm always surprised. I always see someone that I know from the business community that I'm like, hey, you paint? Like, just it's a beautiful thing. So thank you for what you do in the community. And we are very excited to see what you come have for us for gala tomorrow.
Yes, I'm excited for it. Thank you so much.
So thank you. Before we wrap up, we have a couple of shameless plugs for events coming up in the next few weeks. Obviously, we mentioned that gala is tomorrow. It is a sold out event. So we will see you there, hopefully. Out of the Box Lunch is Thursday, November 21st. We'll have Stephen Lee from the New Hampshire Employment Security Office there with us. GNYP Young Professionals Kickball is back. Westwood Park YMCA will be hosting us on Monday, November 25th. We will have food and beverage samples from local vendors, swag bags with goodies from some of our favorite athletic stores, a commemorative t-shirt. Remedy Med Spa, our Thrive sponsor, will be on site with B12 shots, and we have room for up to 8 teams. We're about halfway full right now, so grab your friends, and if you want to just be on a random team and don't have a full 10 to 12 people, sign on up. There's individual tickets in there too. And then final shameless plug, our Jingle Mingle Mixer for Young Professionals. The theme this year is Slay Majesty, and it will be Thursday, December 5th. All proceeds do go to a local nonprofit. It is our mixer event with the Sauhegan and Merrimack Valley Young Professionals. So we will be announcing our local nonprofit next week. Listeners, you can join us again in 2 weeks, where we will be joined by two more Greater Nashua Chamber member organizations. If you've been listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM, don't forget you can also listen and watch live on Facebook or WSMN.live. Make sure you follow us on social media, and we will chat with you again soon. My name is Alyssa O'Mara. Thank you so much for tuning in. Emma, thank you for being here.
Thank you.